Okay, so for 30 years of Jesus' life, well, we'll just say it that way. For 30 years of Jesus' life, what did he do for a living before he began his ministry? What was he? He was a carpenter. Now, I said, we'll say for 30 years of his life. I'm not sure at 2 years of age how many carpentry projects Jesus was doing, but who knows? Maybe he had a lot. But for the first 30 years, Jesus was a carpenter. You think Jesus knew anything about building things? You think he knew anything about building houses? I want you to get your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 7. And that's where we're going to be this morning. Our theme for the Vacation Bible School is building for God. And so as I tried to think of something that would tie along with that, I think about Matthew chapter 7 and the wise and the foolish builder. Will you all sing the builder song with me? I mean, don't leave me up here by myself. I wondered if you all would embarrass me by not singing with me, but did y'all bring your builders? I know the kids have their builders. They always carry their builders with them, but maybe you're too old. Y'all have your builders? They look like this. Y'all have your builders? Y'all know this song? Some of you are like, I'm too cool to sing. No, you're not. Some of you are like, I'm too old to. No, you're not. Give me a break. All right, so can we sing the song? Y'all know it? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the wise man's house stood firm. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the foolish man's house went splat. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. Oh, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Good job. There are about 95% of you that were a part of that song, so thank you for doing that. I know that's not what we would normally do in an adult Bible class. We don't do that kind of thing, but it teaches a point, doesn't it? Isn't that why so-and-so made up that song all of those decades ago? I don't know who wrote that song, but isn't you base something on the Bible and it makes a point. Is it only our kids who need to know about the wise man and the foolish man? Just the kids, right? When Jesus was getting near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, okay, kids, let me give something to you that's not going to... Is that what he was doing? He's talking to us, too. So, I want us to talk about being a wise builder this morning. And I want you to look... We're going to look especially Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. We'll allude to the foolish man down in verses 26 and 27, but you know the difference. And so I just want us to talk today about what does it take to be a wise builder. You want to be a wise builder? I mean, of the two options, here's your two options. You want to be a wise builder or a foolish builder? Oh, okay, well, if those are the two options, then it's pretty obvious what I want to be. So what does it take to be a wise builder? If we have time, we're going to get to about five qualities, five things that a wise builder has got to do. All right? Number one, wise builder has to choose his foundation. What was the difference between the wise builder's foundation and the foolish builder's foundation? What was the difference? Wise man built upon the rock. Foolish man built upon the... Say, okay, you got it. So there is a difference. There's a difference in their foundations. If we're going to be a wise builder, we've got to choose our foundation. What's the foundation that we need to choose? Is Jesus the carpenter? Jesus the carpenter? Is he simply giving building lessons here? Is he going back to his trade and having a trade school here? No, there's a deeper point here. And he's making the point that you need to choose the foundation you're going to build upon. What's the foundation? That we've got to build upon the words of Jesus. That's the foundation that we've got to choose. And so as you look, what's the last word you have in verse 24? You with me? Last word in verse 24. Rock. What's the last word you've got in verse 25? Rock. Okay. So the word that's used there, finish this word. Help me with this verse in Matthew 16, 28. Jesus says to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Same English word, same Greek word. Greek word petra, what does it mean? It means a bedrock. It's not saying that the builder went over and he found a really nice hard piece of sand. That's not what he's talking about. Have you been places, you know, we live in Florida, we've got this soft sand here. Have you been in places where the ground is hard? You might say it's hard as a rock. Do builders say, "Wow, this ground is so hard, I'll just build my house on top of the ground"? Is that what they do? No. They still pour a foundation. Why? Because just because the ground is hard doesn't mean that that's a solid foundation. Hold your finger here in Matthew 7. Go over to Luke chapter 6. Do I have this up here? Yep. All right, we'll put it up there in a second. Go over to Luke chapter 6. This is a parallel where Jesus is talking about this same concept over in Luke chapter 6. And look in verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which," what? "I say." Are we talking about the same? Yeah, we're talking about the words of Jesus here. Same thing. Verse 47. "For whoever comes to me and hears," what? "My sayings," same thing we're going to see in Matthew 7, "and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house." Now, in Luke's account, he gives us a little bit different information here. He gives us a little deeper information, pun intended. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. We don't see that in Matthew 7, but we see it over here in Luke chapter 6. Would Jesus have known about laying a foundation? And in Galilee at that time, in that region, that when they got ready to build a house, sometimes they would dig down 10 feet in the ground to find that bedrock where you can lay a solid foundation. Dig deep. Lay that not just on the ground, dig down deep and lay your foundation. And so what do we need to do if we're going to be wise builders? Don't just take any old foundation that's going to come along. We need to dig down deep and lay our foundation on the words of Jesus. Now, where do we find the words of Christ? It's not a hard question, right? Are the words of Christ, they're only the red letters, right? So all you've got to be concerned is just flipping the pages and finding the red letters in your Bible. The black letters don't matter, right? Boy, what happened before there were red letter Bibles then? People were really in trouble. They didn't know what to study. What words in the Bible are from Jesus? They're all. Are they not? 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Well, that's God the Father. That's not talking about God the Son, right? What verse says that? Who gave us the black letters and the red letters in the Bible? They're all from God. When Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, He said, you need to affirm that the words that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Of who? Who's the Lord? We just sang the song. Build your house on the Lord, Jesus Christ. So when I pick up my Bible, I'm reading the words of... So when Jesus, and when we're talking about being a wise builder, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, we're talking about laying our foundation upon the words of Jesus. We're talking about laying our foundation upon everything that is taught in God's Word. That's where we're laying our foundation. When we lay our foundation upon the words of Jesus, go over to Psalm 19. Go over to Psalm 19. If we understand that every word in the Bible is given to us by God, look at how God's Word is described for us over in Psalm 19. Does this sound like a good foundation for our lives? Look at these first few verses. Let's go to Psalm 19, verse 7. You with me? I hear a few pages. It must be your apps are not making noise this morning. That's good. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. I pick up the law of the Lord, and it's perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord, a synonym. Still talking about the law of the Lord. Still talking about the word of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure. Can you trust this? It's sure. Can you know that when you lay your life down on this book, it's not going to disappoint? It's not going to let you down. It is sure, making wise and simple. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord, another synonym. Statutes of the Lord are what? They're right. I come to the Bible. I don't know. Is that right or not? If I just read the Bible, if I just laid my foundation on the words of Jesus, it's right. Verse 8. Middle of verse 8, the commandment of the Lord, another synonym, is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, another synonym, the judgments of the Lord are what? True and righteous altogether. Those of you in the carpentry business, do you ever use the word true? What does it mean for something in building a house? What does it mean for something to be true? It's what? Correct? Accurate? What'd you say? It's square. It's level. Would it be important for a wall to be true? Would it be important for the line of that wall, for the level of that wall to be true? If you're going to live in that, if your wife is going to live in that house, does she want to make sure that it's true? Yeah. Word of the Lord. When I think about this as the foundation, there is nothing that is going to move. There's nothing I need to question. When it's true, it's pure, it's right, it's perfect. World's going to try to tell you something different. But when you pick up and study this book, this is where you've got to lay your life. We lay our lives on this book because Isaiah 55 says, God says, my word will not return unto me void. It's going to do what God intended it for it to do. It's going to be our standard of authority. It's going to be our standard of judgment on that final day. So all of that's talking about, here's our foundation. When you get ready to be a wise builder, that's what we're talking about. When you get ready to be a wise builder, this is where you got to come. Contrast that with me. We all of that you know, okay? Contrast that with me with the words of men. Can we say the words of men are in the Bible are perfect, sure, right, pure, true? Can we say that? Can we say the words of men are always going to accomplish the will of God? Can we say those same lines when it comes to the word? No. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Got your Bibles? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's the words of men. Are they a solid foundation for me? Is that something I can lay my life down on and it's never going to disappoint? I can just count on that being right and true. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Talking about the completion of the revelation of God's will. In verse 13, where we're going to come, when we have the completion of God's will, we'll come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, will become a perfect and complete man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here's what I want you to see is in verse 14. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Well, Paul, tell us what you really think about the doctrines of men. Their trickery. Tell us what you really think. It's plotting. They're out there with deceitful plotting trying to get you. I can lay my life down on this and trust this word, or I can go over to the doctrines of men that are like the wind. They're going to carry me over here. Oh, no, here's another doctrine of men. It's going to carry me over here until some other man says, oh, I think I like that, what he's saying over there. It's going to carry me over here, and your life just dances all around trying to find some kind of solid footing. Well, here's your solid footing right here. We can't trust man. We can't trust the doctrines of man to be any kind of a solid foundation for us. The words of man, they're not founded upon the words of God. They're founded upon human traditions and what people think. Does what people think ever change? I don't know right now. Are eggs good for you or not good for you? I can't keep up. I mean, it's like every other year. Well, eggs are good for you and eggs are not good. Do the ideas of man ever change? Yeah, they change all the time. Is bacon good for you? In my book, it's always good for you. I don't listen to the experts on that. Bacon's just good for you. God made the pig, God made the bacon, God made me, and we put it all together and we're happy. But ideas of man, they shift. Traditions of men, they change. Does that include religious traditions? Do religious traditions of men, do those change? Have you noticed that over the years? Oh, well, we don't believe that anymore. What do you mean? Oh, we don't practice that anymore. You used to, and now you don't. What happened? That's what a previous generation taught. That's what they used to. Well, wait a minute. What changed? That gets confusing, doesn't it? Shouldn't we lay our foundation here on a book that doesn't change? Where instead of basing it upon the traditions of man, we base it upon the ideas and the traditions of what God has passed down to us. The idea, look over in 2 Timothy chapter, there's a lot of verses over in 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. What happens when we follow the traditions of men? There's some of this we could see, and we'll see a couple of these over in 1 Timothy in a little bit. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. You lay yourself down on the word of truth. You may not have the same word I have, but what's the first word you have in your Bible in verse 16? You've got the same word I've got. Lay yourself down on the word of truth in verse 15. All right, rightly divide the word of truth in verse 15. If you do that, you don't even need to be ashamed. Nothing to be ashamed of. But here's the contrast. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message, the message of these idle babblings, the message of ungodliness, it will spread like cancer. You ever notice how quickly bad news spreads? Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus, they're of this sort. They have strayed concerning the truth. Well, where have they gone if they don't believe the truth anymore? Saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. What's happened here? They're not following verse 15. They're not laying themselves down on the solid foundation of the word of truth. They have followed the ideas of man, and now they're overthrowing the faith of some, and they're teaching things as preposterous as the resurrection has already come. That's what you get when you follow the words of men. And 2 Peter chapter 2 says it's going to lead the teachers to destruction. It's going to lead those who follow the teachers to destruction. So, I've spent more time on this first point than I intended to, but I want to make sure that when we think about this idea of being a wise builder, not the foolish builder, When we think about being a wise builder, we've got to lay our foundation on the Word of God and not budge. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3? No other foundation can any man lay than that which has been laid, man Christ Jesus. We don't need to be ashamed of that. All right, so come back to Matthew chapter 7, real quick. Come back to Matthew chapter 7. So Jesus is contrasting for us, Matthew chapter 7, this wise builder and the foolish builder. Now, look in verse 24 and 26, all right? Look at how verse 24 begins. Look at how verse 26 begins. Jesus says in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine. Well, if I'm going to be a wise builder, there's going to be some difference between me and the foolish builder, but they both start out in the same way. If I'm going to be a wise builder in verse 24, I've got to hear the words of Jesus. When do I do that? When do I hear the words of Jesus? Speak up, because I'm getting old and I can't hear you. Reading the Bible. Studying the Bible. When do I hear the words of Jesus? Well, that's the first one that Allison said. When I read the Word, I'm hearing the Word of God. Think about how often Jesus came to people, and there's just a couple of them up here, Matthew chapter 19 and Matthew 22, when Jesus would say to individuals, have you not read? What's the point? You would know this. You would be following down the right path if what? If you had just read. If we're going to be wise, it starts very basic, right? It starts very basic by just reading what it says. How often, maybe this applies to some of us more than others, how often have some of us, maybe it was a bicycle we were trying to put together. I guess you can just go to Walmart and buy those already put together these days. Maybe it was something else that we bought, some IKEA project, whatever. You bought something, you put it together, and you got halfway through, and you're like, this is not working out. And so then you go searching through the rubble and all the piles of stuff that you've created to get to the very bottom to pull out the instructions that were on top of the box, but you said, oh, I don't need those. And then an hour or two later, you realize, oh, yeah. What? Because we didn't want to read, right? We're like, hey, we can do this. It starts as basic as just reading. Man who was riding along in a chariot. Remember that in Acts 8? What was he doing? He was just reading. He was reading the Word of God. Now, sometimes this idea of hearing the words of Jesus, sometimes it's me reading it. Maybe it's sometimes me listening to somebody else read it. Luke chapter 4, Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he read. Can you imagine being there in the synagogue when Jesus read from Scripture? Wouldn't you have liked to have heard Jesus reading from Scripture? That's what they did in the synagogue. Synagogue was a place where individuals came and they listened to rabbis reading. Is it helpful for you to hear somebody else read? It is for me. I don't know how many of you use, back in the day, right? Back in the day, we used to listen to cassette tapes that had the Old Testament and the New Testament on it, and you'd pop those cassette tapes into a cassette player. Can you imagine that we had to do it? And you'd push that fast forward button, you know, to try to guess where, you know, you're going to try to end up on some place. Can you imagine those dark days? It was bad, guys. It was really bad that we had to deal with cassettes and you couldn't find the, oh, feel bad for us. Now, but what were we doing? Listening? You know, and then we graduated to those CDs and we could find the track that we wanted, you know, but we had a jillion CDs for the Bible. You had to find the right CD, but you could find the right track that you wanted. And then all of a sudden, God created apps. And now with the flick of your finger, you can go anywhere in the Bible and boom, listen to somebody read it. Does it help you to hear somebody read? It helps. I would encourage you when you read, if you have opportunity, when you are reading on your own, read out loud. That's what the Ethiopian was doing in Acts 8. He was reading out loud. But it also helps to hear somebody else read. Get those apps out and take time just to listen to somebody else read. It helps in the hearing to hear somebody else preach. Not just reading it, hear somebody else preach. Remember what the Ethiopian wanted Philip to do? Get up here in the chariot with me. And it says that Philip began at that same scripture and did what? Gave him his opinion about the matter. He began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 begins by saying, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not, what do you have to do before you can call on the name of the Lord? Whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless there's a preacher who's been sent? What helps us? What helps us in the hearing of God's word? Reading it ourselves, listening to it preached is something we need to do. Receiving it unto ourselves. And then something to note about that word hears in Matthew 7 is that it is a present tense verb. What does that mean? Something I need to keep doing. It's not, well, you know, I read the Bible one time. It was kind of interesting, you know, but I've moved. What do you mean you read the Bible one time? I need to be reading the Bible, ongoing reading the Bible. It needs to be a part of my everyday. Did you ever eat a meal one time? Well, I ate dinner one time. It was kind of an interesting thing to do, you know, but that I'm beyond that now. You know, I ate lunch, you know, one time. Do you ever eat meals? I would say rather regularly, right? We don't look at that as just something that I did one time and it was an interesting exercise and I've grown from that and moved. Why? What about this? Do I need to feast upon this? Is this something I need to turn to on a regular basis, even more regularly than I turn to my physical meals? We need to be involved in it regularly. All right, we got to move on. Wise builder does what? Chooses a solid foundation. Wise builder does what? He hears the word. Now, what's the difference? Come back to Matthew 7, verse 24 and 26. What's the difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder? Wise builder begins, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Foolish builder begins, verse 26, whoever hears these sayings of mine. But where does it change? The wise builder does it. That's what makes him a wise builder. He chooses the foundation of the words of Jesus upon which to build his life. Having chosen that, he goes and hears them. He takes them in. He absorbs them. He does all he can to understand them. But that's not it. Hearing alone is not sufficient. Hearing alone makes me a foolish man if that's all that I do. Look over in Luke chapter 8. This is always an interesting verse, an interesting passage to me. Look in Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 19. Luke 8, verse 19. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to him, and they couldn't approach him because of the crowd. And it was told to Jesus, verse 20 of Luke chapter 8, it was told to Jesus by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Jesus, what are you going to do? Has this verse intrigued you in verse 21? Jesus answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers. Yes, yes, they're standing outside. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God. What else? And do it. What does that say about us? I mean, Jesus was not dismissing his biological mother and brothers, but Jesus is saying there is a bigger point to be made here. And that is that the ones that Jesus looks at as his family, hello? The one that Jesus looks at as his family are the people who don't just hear it, don't just read it, but the people that do what it says. Am I a wise builder? Do I spend time in God's word? You know, James chapter 1 talks about the difference between hearing and doing. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. That needs to be us. And so doing, come back to Matthew 7. And in your Bible, you might draw a line here. From verse 21 down to verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Do you see the word does back up in verse 21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The one who does the sayings of Jesus in verse 24 is the one who does the will of the Father in verse 21. I pick up this book. I read through this book. I hear what the Lord has to say. And I just do it because that's the will of my Father. I do it because in so doing, I am submitting myself to His will and not mine. Wasn't that the problem in verses 22 and 23 and the verses in between? Wasn't that the problem with verse 22? Are people doing their will, not the will of Christ? Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done many wonders in your name? What did Jesus say in verse 23? That's not my will. You're doing these things. You're saying you're doing them in my name, but that's not the will of my Father in heaven. I don't know you. You're not doing my will. You're not doing my sayings. You haven't submitted to what I've said. And so what did Jesus say in Matthew 26, 39 himself? When he's praying in the garden, Father, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what? Not as I will, but as you will. When I come to the Word of God and I say, I'm not just going to be a hearer, I'm going to be a doer of it. I've got to remove self. I've got to deny self. And I've got to say, whatever the Lord says, it may make me uncomfortable. It may require some change in my life. It may require me to repent and to admit that I was wrong before. Well, what does 2 Timothy say about Scripture? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Are there times when I come here and I need to be corrected? Well, I'm doing pretty good. There's not a single one of us who doesn't need to come here and be corrected. And to allow the Word of God to... You remember the phraseology that's used in Acts 18? When Aquila and Priscilla, they took Apollos aside because he knew the way of the Lord, right? I mean, he knew it great. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the Scriptures. Wow, this guy knows his stuff. He not only knows his stuff, he sounds like he knows his stuff, right? So who's going to correct this guy who's got it all together? Quill and Priscilla heard him. What was it about Apollos that, well, he was just off on something? You remember what it was? I mean, it wasn't a big deal, right? He knew only the baptism of John. Yeah, but he's got all this other stuff right. Does that matter? He was wrong about baptism. Isn't that interesting? You can have all of this other stuff right and not be right about baptism, and the Lord doesn't say, ah, close enough, we'll just round up to the nearest dollar and everything's good. No. They heard him. He knew only the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla took him aside, and they, what? Explained the way of the Lord to him more perfectly, more accurately. I need to come to the Word of the Lord and let the Word of the Lord explain things to me more perfectly, more accurately than the way that I'm living. And I need to see that, and I need to make those changes wherever those changes need to be made. And I need to come to the Word of God and to do it without doubting what it says. Look over in Romans chapter 11. You know James chapter 1, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Remember verse 6 of James chapter 1. We're going to Romans 11. But remember when it says, let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave in the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. If I doubt what God says, I'm just driven here, driven there. But I want you to see Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You just let that verse sink in for a second. Is that not true? Have you not experienced that yourself? Reading the Bible and you're like, wow, okay, hadn't seen that part before. And when you read the Bible, it just gets deeper and deeper. The more you study it, the more you learn, the deeper you go into it. And here's Paul. The first word in my Bible in verse 33 is the word, oh. What does that mean? Wow! Here it is, Allison. Yes, you've got exclamation points. So it is Paul saying, look at this. The Word of God is deep. And his point here is not just the Word of God. His point is the wisdom and the knowledge of God when you read about it in the Bible. It's deep. I can't get there. All right, that's his point in verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? What's the answer to that question? All right, there's 128 people in here right now. I don't know. Which of you has known the mind of the Lord? Raise your hand. You're on the same wavelength. I mean, you and the Lord, you've known the mind. You know everything he's thinking. That's Paul's point. Who's known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Who's taken the Lord aside, put your arm around the Lord and said, let me share some wisdom with you about how things are going and what you need to know. It's laughable, isn't it? Almost blasphemous to even suggest such a thing. What's the point? When I pick up this book, I don't need to doubt what this says. Who am I? Am I the Lord's counselor now? Do I know the mind of the Lord? And now I'm going to instruct. That's not me. I pick it up, and I read it, and I do it. And I don't question that that's what God says. I do it with joy. I do it with zeal, Titus 2 and verse 14, zealous for good works. I do it with just a yearning and a desire, take this phrase out of context, but not obeying the Lord grudgingly or of necessity. That's what your kids do, right? You tell your kids to go clean their room, and they go stomping all the way. I'll clean my room. I'll put this over here. Okay, did their room get clean? Maybe the room got clean. And maybe that's all you care about. But the God of heaven is not looking for us. Well, that's what he wants me to do. Okay, I'll just go. Is he concerned more about that the outward gets done? Or the Lord looks on the heart. Boy, I could do everything just right on the outside and be 100% wrong with my God. Is that possible? Yeah. Because I've got, Romans 6, verse 17, I've got to obey from the heart. When we sing, is it just the outward, just what's on the outside that matters, right? We sing and make melody on the outside. That's all. Sing and make melody where? In the heart. So, same thing on the present tense here. The word hears, present tense. What does that mean? I got to keep hearing. I got to keep reading. I got to stay saturated in the Word of God. The word does, same thing. Keep saturated. Keep doing it. Not just on Sundays, not just at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Sundays, but to be perpetually involved in doing the will of God. All right, I only have 3 minutes. We won't have time to get to the fifth point, but let's at least get to the fourth point. Because here's what I think we miss sometimes. Come back to Matthew 7. Here's what I think we miss sometimes. Jesus says you need to choose a solid foundation, Word of God. That's what the wise builder does. You need to hear the Word of God, saturate your heart and your mind with it, and then you need to keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it. And what's going to happen? He who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house. Is that just metaphorical, or does that have something to do with us? When I lay my life, when I lay my faith down on Christ, is the world going to say, never mind, you can do that? Is the devil going to say, well, lost that one, I'll try somebody else? They're going to give up on us? Jesus says you need to do this to prepare for the storms that are coming. If you have, if you've been involved in buying a house or building a house since 1992, when Hurricane Andrew came through Miami Homestead area, did the building codes, did building regulations, is how you put a roof on a house, did that change after Andrew? Some things. Why? Because we learned some things. Because roofs were coming, all sorts of things. So now houses are built differently. Well, what if a storm never comes? Some of you have lived in your house for 20, 30 years, and you've never had a hurricane come and test that, maybe. Well, why'd you do it if a hurricane never came? So that you could be ready in case one came. Jesus says you lay your faith on a solid foundation. One reason is because storms are going to come. They're going to come from all over the place. You don't know what direction they're going to be coming from. You need to prepare for them. Some of these storms are going to come in the form of temptations. And when temptations come, where does my faith need to be? Laid on a solid rock of what Jesus says. Sometimes those storms are going to come in the form of sorrows. Look quickly. We only have a minute for this. Look in Mark chapter 16. You would not expect this. You would not expect what Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb and he was raised from the dead. You expect his disciples to be out there shouting about this. Is it 9:45? Rats. Okay. Well, I don't have time for this. Let me put these other things up here. What happens in Mark chapter 16? His disciples are sorrowful and not believing that Jesus was raised from the dead. Can sorrows cause us to have our faith tested? Yeah. We can be down in the dumps. False teachings do it? Yes. Can trials and persecutions do it? Yes. What do we need to do? Dig down deep. Lay our foundation on the Word of God. What does that mean? I keep on hearing it and I keep on doing it. And that makes me a wise builder who can withstand any storm that's going to come. Thank you all very much for your good attention this morning.